Good morning. Today is a Friday. It is the 19th of May.
Good morning,
Brian. Hubble's been graduated.
Cal Poly has graduated. They have broken ground on their new
Yeah, I noticed
housing.
That on the way
you drive
in.
Past it.
Yeah. There's like trucks.
And there were buildings,
dirt.
And now there aren't.
Yeah. Progress. Yeah. Karen Diemer from Arcata is with us. Are you ready to feel really intelligent?
Talk Arcata.
Sure.
Was that the start of intelligence?
You got to walk through the gauntlet, however.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, Winston. You're going to already have to help me out with this one, I can tell. Why do we
say
this
is keep a stiff upper lip.
Oh, my gosh. As I said, Winston. Winston helps with sound, and he's looking down this morning.
Yeah.
With a stiff upper lip, I might add. I have absolutely no idea why we would say keep a stiff upper lip.
For at least a dozen centuries,
like you're laughing?
Men of England alternated between shaving and growing whiskers.
There you go.
Razors were used every day during most of the reign of Queen Anne. To make up for what the razor took, many a sporting fellow donned a wig. When wigs were abandoned by most people except barristers, facial hair made a comeback. Soldiers may have been the first to give up beards in favor of mustaches, but military men who grew them discovered a serious drawback. Hair on the upper lip, no matter how carefully clipped and waxed, moves at the slightest twitch of a muscle. Many a stern old officer, himself slow to adopt the newfangled mustache, roared, laughed, and made an event out of it. If a young fellow insisted upon growing hair under his nose, he would have to learn how to keep
a stiff upper lip.
Movements of a mustache, you see, this is team reading. They teach this in elementary school these days, I think.
But only one of us has a book.
All right, smarty. Last paragraph.
The last paragraph is spreading from barracks room talk of men hoping to become known as officers and gentlemen, the phrase came to label self-control in a difficult situation.
Way to go.
Mm-hmm.
You finish it off with pizzazz.
Another useless fact.
Yeah. However, it's probably a practice that is well used by many a politician.
Well, I thought we were going to figure
and
out
staff
how,
member.
I thought we were going to figure out how this somehow evolved into firefighters, male firefighters, you know, and mustaches.
Okay. Well, is there a facial hair code?
Well, sure.
Arcata?
Well, no. And historically, for male firefighters, they could have a mustache, but not other facial hair because their apparatus that would seal their face from smoke had to be able to grip the rest of their face.
And you know this because?
That'll have to stay silent, Tom.
Yeah. I see. That's functional trivia, not useless trivia. I see. Oh, boy. Well, you admit you kind of took a little bit of the thunder away there. There's raw dirt on the north end of town.
There is.
It
a lot
like
of it.
Looks like there's some piles going on, some things happening, maybe even some forms starting to kind of be considered. Game on, huh?
Yeah, Cal Poly has far and away broken ground, and they will be working. I mean, this is a year and a half project. They really hope to have students housed by fall of 2024.
So in a year.
Well, or maybe January. Yeah, they might need two full construction seasons. You know, we'll see. I mean, they're moving pretty quickly. The crew that's up is mixed. There's some locals. There are some folks from out of the area that are just absolutely thrilled to be working here in this weather.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
calling home.
We don't think about that one, do we?
No, they're like, we're calling home every day. You got to come up here with the kids. Get them out of school. This is awesome up here. But there was a lot of excited people. It was interesting. There was the student body president that spoke at the groundbreaking, and I was sitting next to him for a period right when we got there. And he looked at me, he said, Karen, he says, I just have to tell you, this is exactly what students have been asking me for my entire time on student government. More
to sit next to you?
Student housing. Yes, that's right.
That's
Brian,
what
to
I
sit
thought.
Next to me.
Just cut through all of the.
That was it. Had nothing to do with actually wanting to be housed as a student. But he, I mean, I think he was actually earnestly blown away. It was like, this is what we've been talking
that
about.
That it was
students.
Happening.
Yeah, and here it is. And he was really excited. And so I think that just sort of made the morning for me, is just to recognize it's what students are talking about.
Off campus? New? What is it that makes this one so much better than some of the others?
Well, I think it's new. I think it's just more of that. It's making it easier for students to not have to search high and low for housing and come up with the three roommates or the five roommates that can afford the house and the first, you know, the deposit and the first month's rent. You know, it's just that option to work with the university and to be surrounded by other students and to have support, to have food on site, to have study areas on site, to have recreation on site.
Kind of a self-contained off campus, which is rare for our area. Rare in a lot of other communities.
No, we probably both had kids that lived in similar housing in school. We're looking at Winston now.
Yeah,
well, he's got a stiff upper lip. I don't know.
Well, you know, if there's a food court nearby and a Subway, I think he was okay.
Thumbs up on that one, he says. Anyway, so it's exciting. I mean, it's 1,050 beds. So there'll be support resident advisors as well as obviously a lot of students.
Now, I would not be doing my job.
You wouldn't.
Or at least honoring some of the time I've been spending out off hours if I didn't ask, is this affordable housing?
Is this affordable housing? The university describes it as affordable housing. And I think, you know, the student housing, and I haven't looked at the numbers this year, but it's not inexpensive. But it does come with, you know, it's an all-in cost. So, and
yeah, food is included. I mean, that's a big deal.
Yeah. And all your utilities and your internet.
No, I'm just saying food, considering how much, well, and yours also, how much they eat during that age time frame. It's a big deal.
We could all do thumbs up on that.
Yeah,
one. And the university works with students. So if, you know, they don't have to put down a deposit, they're not putting first and last month's rent. So to that extent, it's much easier for students to get into this type of housing. And it can all be tied into their financial aid. So it's, you know, it's more individualized to the student, which makes it affordable.
Is there enough parking?
Is there ever enough parking, and is there always too much parking?
Well,
right?
It just depends. That's how just it depends on what city manager you talk to.
That's right.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about Chicken of the Sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Arcata City Manager Karen Diemer. The obligatory how's the budget question.
The obligatory?
Yeah.
We're just working on budget, so at least it's a timely question for
us. Well, I didn't say it was that. It just is, I almost feel repetitive. You're in, it's a Merit yesterday, Rexy on Wednesday.
Okay. I mean,
it's just,
so talking about the budget for each of them.
It's the season.
Yeah, and you're probably hearing, I mean, there are some there's some bad indicators locally in our economy. You know, a lot of that probably does actually stem around the cannabis industry, but the county sales tax is down double digits at this point.
Yeah,
I think.
Counties is. Yeah. Is Arcata?
The cities are as well, but not nearly as substantial. So right now, Arcata's this quarter over, you know, this year, this quarter last year is down about 4.3%, which is
nowhere
near.
Well, if inflation was flat, you would, okay, fine, you can soldier on that. That's okay.
Yeah, yeah. So we're looking, I think for this year, we're looking steady is, you know, what we've been planning from a staff level. We do still have, though, we're still propped up with the American Rescue Plan Act funds. Those ARPA funds, you know, have an extension through, we can spend through December of 2025. So we've metered them out to kind of bolster some of those key positions in public safety and in Parks and Rec, bringing back sports events this year and a lot more events coming back to the plaza and festivals in Arcata. So bringing staff back to support those and having some of those positions still supported through that stimulus fund. So while our budget, I think, will look whole this year in terms of our service level, we recognize in the 2 years to come, we still have revenues to make up to offset those stimulus funds that we're spending right now.
So what you're saying is we better kick it in.
We're going to have to kick it in. Yeah, we did. You know, we actually on the North Coast did better than a lot of areas through the pandemic, and we reduced services, and we had so many cuts and fewer services just because, say, we weren't offering recreation programs because people weren't coming. So all of that savings, this council has looked into putting towards what is the city's largest debt, which is our pension obligations, and making a
that's pretty universal, isn't it?
For throughout all cities, all counties.
Pick a jurisdiction, it's retirement.
Yeah, but I'm proud of our council for taking that kind of fiduciary stance of let's try to address this debt. It's not typically something that's going to garner votes or popularity, but you're going to have colleagues 10 years from now that are going to be very thankful for the actions that they've taken
it's
now.
It's doing the business side of things instead of doing the front counter stuff. Yeah, that's that's why people run for office, I understand.
That's what I hear. Well, but that's what I get to see right now.
But that's
so
part of it.
I'm thankful to that, yeah.
I mean, you got to do. Not everything has a ribbon and a scissor associated with it.
No.
Or scissors, I guess.
Yeah,
ribbon. If you only had half a scissor, that wouldn't really do too much.
It makes for a pretty picture.
So, when you're looking at the options.
Mm-hmm.
For the dollars, you know, you said Parks and Rec coming back, you know, and certainly that's nice window dressing. Okay, but is quality of life, does that take precedent over, I guess, the structural elements of it? I would.
You really try to balance, and you say that Parks and Rec is window dressing, but in Arcata, and I would argue in any community, it really is critical. It is that quality of life. It is why you live in a place. It's certainly why people live on the North Coast, to have access to the trails and the recreational amenities that we have.
But whether or not you're playing night league.
And it, right. But it also, but it does draw a lot of our economic development too. Even night league, because then they stop for a beer or then they, you know, need equipment or then, you know, whatever that is.
Hospital trips.
Hospital trips. Hopefully not too many, but there are a few.
You didn't play in my league.
But
looking at that, draining down the contingency funds, you know, so if let's say it doesn't happen in 2 years.
Right.
Okay, now it's not Parks and Rec. Now you're talking something a little bit more serious and basic to the city's functions.
Yeah.
That was the gist of it.
Yeah. No, you know what I've been in this industry a long time now, right? So what I've seen is that you really do need to balance it all. You can't just eliminate all of the reasons that people live in your community, right? Because that's just a spiral of economic despair. So you, yes, you've got to figure out what those sort of critical functions are. And whether, you know, water and sewer and streets and public safety. But I would, quite frankly, in our region especially, put some of that Parks and Rec right up there. And when
But you've got Humboldt also that is making Arcata unique because of the age and where people are in their lives.
Yeah.
You know, rather than some of the others.
Yeah. But I also think a trend, and I think this is also what you're touching on, that I'm seeing throughout the state and cities coming out of the pandemic is a kind of laser focus back to some of those core services, the infrastructure. You see the city, we're building a new 1 million gallon water tank right now. We're starting the largest rehabilitation of our wastewater treatment plant. We've really upped our game in terms of paving repairs and street repairs. You're seeing sidewalk improvements and crossing walk improvements going in throughout the city. So there
not ADA driven?
Both. I mean, you know, when any time that we receive money to put in, you are also making improvements for ADA.
Well, if there's a silo, the threat of lawsuit is where I was.
Well,
I'm kind of wired to what the county's dealing with.
I know, but there is a real practical side of ADA, too. And as we have an aging population, it makes sense for everyone.
The comment was, your hands are handcuffed on those. You gotta. It's not an option. You gotta.
You do, and if you do, then you don't get into the compliance issues that other agencies have.
Oh, other agencies. Okay. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Karen Diemer, Arcata City Manager. As you go through either new staff or staff turnover or new responsibilities with staff, and I suppose it's the same to a certain extent with the electeds also, how long does it take for somebody to come up to speed?
This is a really great question. I'm seeing it in all cities. Like in Arcata this last year, we hired 19 new staff, and we have a full-time staff of 130. We hired 19 fresh new. We promoted 15 within. That's a tremendous turnover of people that are in new positions
in 1 year.
In 1 year, yeah, and that's a high year for us. And part of that was bringing positions back after the pandemic that were unfrozen. But I mean, I tell everybody, give yourself an entire year. City government is on a real cyclical nature. Different things do happen every quarter. And while you might get 75% of your job, you're feeling, you know, kind of
cocky. Yeah.
At least comfortable doing a lot of it on your own, you know, in the first 3 to 6 months. It really does take a full annual cycle to just see for the first time everything.
Yeah, you got to make a couple laps.
Through. Yeah, and you then, do.
Yeah. That's everything I've seen in the private sector says 18 months. Mm-hmm. You kind of get to the point where you kind of sort of know where to park.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And what key opens the lock and that kind of stuff. But at 5 years,
yeah,
that's really where the explosive growth happens. And then if you lose somebody after five, you're really losing a lot of knowledge.
Yeah. Well, and we maybe talked about this last month, or it might be new to your listeners, but, you know, one of the things that the council did, we were talking about core services and one of those being public safety, and that's been our area where recruitment and retention has been the most challenging nationwide, certainly California statewide, but also locally and right here in Arcata. So they looked at, because our numbers for on-the-street police officers have been so low, they did institute a really sizable hiring incentive of over about a 3-year period. If you come to Arcata and you're already a certified police officer in the state of California working, it's a $50,000 signing bonus to come to Arcata right now. But in the process of that, we had, you know, pretty hefty discussions about how do we keep the really great officers that we have right now, because that institutional knowledge at this point is completely critical to our public safety service in training and kind of keeping that compassionate service first that Arcata is known for. So they also did retention bonuses to keep our current staff that are working.
Now that's not too common, is it?
I haven't seen that as much. So you have to stay for the year, but if you are an officer with us right now and you stay till next June 30th, it's a $7,500 bonus per year for each 3 years that would come in that last pay period of the fiscal year.
Okay, you're going to have to slow up on that one for me.
I know. So it's a 3-year incentive program.
So $2,500 a year for...
No, $7,500 a year for each year that you stay.
For a 3-year window.
For a 3-year window to try to just stabilize us through this period while we have the ability to bring new staff on and get back
to full strength. That feels good. But then at the end of 3 years, now is there an expectation that it's going to be there again? And if it's not, now everybody's disincentivized.
Right.
Or disgruntled, at least.
It can. You'd have to take it with what's in front of you. I mean, we've seen that pendulum flow. You must have in your career, too. There were times where it was really competitive to try to be a police officer. Everyone paid their own way to go through the academy, and they were competing hard to try to get local public safety jobs. We've seen it in education, right, where it was super competitive to try to get a teaching job. It was super competitive to try to get a nursing job.
Firefighters.
In this area. A firefighter. Mm, you were wait years to try to get a local firefighter job. And we're not seeing that right now, obviously. But, you know, I do still have hope that the pendulum will swing and the actual value
that
all of those positions bring to our community, that value, you know, the understanding of what that type of career can bring in terms of value into your life will be realized by this generation.
It would be interesting, and I don't know, obviously nobody does, what the growth impact of Humboldt, and if we're building the windmills, what that does. Because we just haven't seen that kind of mercurial growth. But like what Davis has and North Sacramento and some of these other places that are in the region, what that does. I mean, how do you handle growth, but how do you process growth? All of a sudden, those jobs that have always been available aren't. Mm-hmm. The needs are more. You've got more different types because there's more areas of interest in the population. You know, just the minor percentages, there's enough of them now, there's critical mass to warrant having some of these things. It's kind of intriguing to even contemplate what that would look like in our area. Mm-hmm. A little bit with the housing now, and we're stumbling and bumbling through that thing like... Mm-hmm. Like a pro.
Well,
and some of the other ancillary or associated services as it continues to go. Put another 25,000 people here, which I think is probably a pretty conservative figure.
Realistic in the next 20 years anyway.
Well, say 10 years. Yeah. I mean, so we actually can see that there's some. What does that do? Mm-hmm. What does that look like? How can we handle it? Or do we botch that up also and then have to try to unwind things to make it happen?
Right.
Growth is interesting to me.
Yeah. Well, and I think it comes back to the question you asked right before the last break, which is, will there be enough parking at the new dorms that, you know, Cal Poly is building? And part of the answer to that question is things like, even though this is off-campus housing, it is being built in a location that is absolutely walkable, bikeable, and on an easy bus route to campus. So making some of those
alternatives. Oh, it's easy walking. You just have to want to walk.
Yeah. Well, and you want to walk if it's really difficult to park on campus, right?
Yeah, unless you're a kid and you like to drive and you got a new car to go to school and all those types of things.
Yeah, I tell you.
It hasn't been that long, has it?
Oh, I think it has.
Well, I remember the new horse, so.
And I walked, so.
Yeah, there were some stumbling moments, too.
And back then, I think the parking pass was $86. And I was like, that's so expensive.
Well, the parking lots at Humboldt were parking lots. They don't seem to be parking lots anymore.
They have a ton of them. It's all the same parking lots when we were there.
Well, but they're different, though. I don't know if you... Well, before you buy a one-day pass. That kind of thing.
You can still do that.
Can you?
You just have to do it on your phone through your app.
Oh, fine.
Download it, Brian. Get with the times. Download the apps.
No, I got to get rid of a lot of those things that everybody's told me I needed to have.
Well, you need the parking app. Or you could pay the parking ticket.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see, as we metamorphize into whatever the next thing is that we are.
Yeah, and another discussion that we're having, and this has been a big discussion in our community, is with the fire department and with the police department around, there's this crunch period between when you start to receive, where you start to grow in population and you need to be able to roll out these services. But the financial impact of that new population doesn't actually infiltrate into your community.
Yeah, there's
probably like 3-4 years, right? It's not a forever time frame, but it is a 3-5 year time frame where you need to figure out how do you finance some of that.
Well, that's your contingency
your
funds,
services.
Right?
Yeah. But you really have to be planning correctly to know that the property tax value is going to go up, that the sales tax from that new population is going to come in and be able to see that change in your
revenue.
Do you
have confidence that you've identified those indicators?
I have confidence that we will by the time we adopt. Yeah, because we're working on them now. I can't say we understand
them all. Fair enough, fair enough. KINS, news and information time is 8:43. We'll be back with more from Karen Deemer.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:48. That's another phrase we're going to have to figure out where it came from, huh? Piece of cake?
Piece of cake.
Yeah. Probably came from a cake. That's what I would guess.
Something nice and simple and it tastes good.
Yeah. Yeah. What is the coolest thing that has happened so far this calendar year?
Thing that has happened. Wow. There's just so many. I mean, I have to say for me, which is maybe not, well, there's so many. You know, the start, a lot of them just right at the end of last year, the start of our wastewater treatment plant rehab, the start of our community ambassador program. We had the groundbreaking for the connector trail piece just this week between Eureka and Arcata, what's called Humboldt Bay Trail South. It's the county's piece.
That's the part from where the train tracks don't have anything underneath them?
From where Breakout, yep, right there.
To the rest of the
that will be connecting down to Target, basically.
Yeah, it's coming. It's going across the train trestle, isn't it?
At the bridge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so that is under construction, so that's been super exciting. Getting construction back on our water tank is exciting. Cal Poly had a fabulous graduation last weekend with 1,200 students.
Yeah, there was a bunch of people in town.
There was a bunch of people.
Kind of felt like tourist season.
Everything went smooth.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen some huge success stories come out of opening of just our first hotel conversion to housing for the homeless.
There was a news story earlier this week, maybe the tail end of last week, that there are about 1,500 hotels, motels, lodging establishments that have been converted over. It was one of the travel programs.
Oh, okay, statewide.
With the question being, what's happened to the TOT? And that is now becoming a real significant concern.
Yeah, it is. There's no doubt that the loss of
bed tax, that
people pay when they go to hotel, that funds local services is a big issue. We've been addressing that in our community because the university is temporarily taking 3 or 4 hotels this next year. Next year also. And until, you know, they've broken ground construction on this 1,000 beds. So once that's up and running, they'll move all those students, you know, directly out of those hotels into those units. But now, the university will be reimbursing us for that TOT.
Will those hotels be then returned back to hotels, or is the homeless housing shelter thingy going to backfill into those facilities?
No, they will go back to hotels. They're getting really fabulous upgrades as part of this conversion to student housing, so that has been nice, a nice piece of it. We only have 2 hotels in Arcata, the old Days Inn and the old Red Roof Inn. But I did just want to mention that one of the real benefits that we've seen in the first home key open at the Days Inn is some real dramatic decreases in some of our stays in the emergency room, actually. We had a handful of people that were very frequent in the emergency room on a mental health crisis or a physical crisis as a result of living on the street, that being housed has eliminated a tremendous amount of trips for those individuals. Marked enough that the emergency room has noticed.
Has commented, yeah. I guess it would be an expansion of Mad River.
Mm-hmm.
Is that chugging along? It's probably too early to say chugging, but
it is. They've come to the council. They've asked for some leniency in the current requirements on all of the property that the hospital owns right around their existing hospital. And they are working plans to really build out not only new hospital facilities, but housing, workforce housing for medical staff.
The mental health component has got a bunch of people excited.
The construction of a mental health facility on that property as well. Yeah, both short stay and long stay.
Well, I think the completion of it would be the exciting part.
Would be the
part.
Exciting
not the,
piece,
not the construction
yeah.
part of it. But,
well,
yeah.
I like construction, too. Local yeah. jobs, keeping people working. Yeah. I like that, too.
Fair enough. Let's see you. All right. Let's see everybody on Monday.